Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Podcast Show number 160. And I can tell you what, Dan Silver seems to be in a cracking mood today.
Well, I just had to give Chris a bollocking because we're in a pub. It's a respectable family place, and he's sat with his feet up on the chair, lounging around like a lizard.
Respectable and family place.
All right, I might have been a bit loose with my descriptive terms, but still, he's got his feet up, sat lounging around on the seat. Like, well, where do you think he is?
Well, you know,
like I said, kids nowadays.
He's not been
no
down
respect.
Here for a few weeks. I think the
no
strong
respect.
Moral lessons he's had from the other podcast
escaped me.
Gone around.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just
say hello and say sorry?
Hello, sorry everyone for having my feet up.
Can I just say, with myself, Dan, Chris, and Tom here, this is probably, with the exception of one of us, the most beardy show we've ever had. I'll let you use your imagination about which one of us can't grow a beard, but we'll have a look. Maybe we'll have a show photo later that'll highlight that.
I've got a couple of other possibilities for show photos.
Oh, well,
but we'll go on to that later, Michael.
We will. Where should we start? Weekend results. It was the first time in Premier League history that all seven of the top seven won on the same weekend.
Really?
There's a fact
the for
you.
The first time in Premier League history?
First time in Premier League history, apparently. So I'm told.
We're going to get called up on this, aren't we?
Probably.
We're going to get actually.
I challenge anyone to go back to 1994 and say, actually, Nottingham Forest won that weekend.
Yeah, that'd be good.
No, but apparently so.
I don't think all of our listeners speak like that.
No, it's just me.
Incredibly nasal.
I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Jason Punchin and his wonderful penalty, I don't think all seven would have won.
Because, no, I actually feel sorry for him, having seen that footage of how gutted he is afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's one of those where you do just smack it, and to be fair...
But was it you and I were talking about it, or was it someone else? I'm pointing at Chris, by the way, not me. The way he's lined up to hit it is as if he's going to ping a 40-yard ball. That's how you sort of shape up to ping a 40-yard ball. I mean, not to... I don't know, even to power... You put more square. If you're going for power, you're a bit more square on, and you're running, go with the mental ball.
Yeah, the classic is Graham Alexander when he used to take penalties for Preston and Burnley, I think, as well.
Oh, yeah,
he just used to run straight at it.
Yeah, that's fair. But the way he sort of curved and shaped and bent his body, it looks like he's sort of
going for distance.
And he perfected it.
I tell you, it's quite similar to a couple of the penalties that David Beckham missed.
No, but he slipped with those.
Not with all of them. I remember him.
I think two of them. I think both of them slipped.
His technique wasn't suited. It was only one of them.
Was
I think.
It 2004? No,
two for England he slipped. Yeah, against Turkey and Portugal.
Are you talking about
for Madrid. Well. I don't think he missed one for United, but I think he missed a few in England friendlies and stuff as well. But he never quite had that technique that.
Did you see Warnock absolutely slate it?
And did you see Jason Punchin come back?
No, but I tried to find the tweets, but I couldn't find them.
Palace told him to take him down.
I found them. I don't have them with me, but there was something on the line of accusing Neil Warnock of signing and playing players on the basis that he would get a cut of their appearance fees.
Oh, bloody hell. So not even like really bad.
I know Neil Warnock has consulted his lawyers.
So basically what George Graham and Harry Redknapp have made their careers on.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, hello to everyone listening in Norway. I'm sure George is out there scouting the latest talent as he used to.
Just going back to that. I mean, I was fortunate enough to find a website that allowed me to watch said Tottenham game without it being live on television.
I take it it
or
was
at the ground. I don't know.
Was this when you were briefly abroad, where it's legal to watch these?
Yes,
games? Like I
yes.
was at the weekend.
I popped over to Guernsey.
Popped over to Guernsey
or,
yeah.
Or Ireland. Yeah, I could have gone there, but turns out I went to Guernsey.
Yeah.
It's funny for a couple of hours.
Funny how my local pub is actually in the Republic of Ireland and can show Staten Island despite being on North Harrow High Street.
Weird.
Strange, isn't it?
Weird. My front room's actually in Bhutan, in Asia.
Well, we are a multinational podcast, aren't we?
Yeah,
we're all all over the place. But yeah, watching that first half, I mean, Palace should easily have been winning. Easily. Mm. They absolutely slaughtered Spurs the first half. We just didn't look at the race at all. Second half, and which for me, I quite like the fact that obviously Sherwood has actually put a rocket up their arse. And it was for the first time he's needed to, and they responded to it. So as a Spurs fan, it's a positive to see that they were playing shit in the first half. We managed to go in at 0-0.
0-0 it was, yeah.
Yeah, just after half-time we scored. And obviously for the first time, he needs to give him a bollock. He's given him a bollock, and they come out and we played a lot better second half. Apparently, Alex Kelly was been on the show once.
He was on a couple of times. He was due to become a pubcaster and then disappeared.
It was, yeah.
he happened to have a meeting every Wednesday, all of a sudden.
What an arsehole. But yeah, I mean, the main thing from that game for me was Jermaine Defoe.
Well, the scoring was perfectly good. Yeah,
a classic Jermaine Defoe goal. Yep. Apparently, he warmed up like an Olympic athlete. Was quite the same. Apparently, he looked so hungry for it. And so I think Sherwood actually said that. Yeah. He said he warmed up, and he got the biggest cheer of the day. Not when we scored, when he came on.
Yeah.
They sang his name throughout the whole time, and it shows.
Is he putting himself in the shop window, though? I've heard rumours he wants
to... No, he's done.
He's off to Toronto.
He's gone,
yeah.
Oh, fucking hell, sorry. I'm not paying attention.
Keep up.
He got a PS4 at the weekend.
Yeah.
Have you heard the rumours about Toronto FC? Well, not the rumours, the facts about Toronto FC as well. How they're just the joke of the MLS.
Well,
they've had Mo Johnson, who I forget the nickname they had, that literally bought every ex-player he could think. Every 36-year-old footballer he could find.
Obviously, right. Very popular with Celtic fans, Mo Johnson as well.
Well, for
and
while he was.
Fans, but, yeah.
And then Ryan Nelson was the latest one. And he was the chairman's mate. That's how he got up. The chairman's but since been sacked.
Right.
And I think Ryan Nelson ain't. So why would Defoe score goals like that for Spurs?
Defoe and what's his name?
Michael Bradley.
Michael Bradley from the American International, who played for Ace.
It was Roma, and he also played for Aston Villa briefly.
Right, he's fucking good player.
I went to school with him.
Is his dad's the national coach, I think? Bob Bradley.
Yeah. Yes, he is. I went to school with Michael Bradley. He was a bit of a git, but that was when we were younger. He turned out to be alright.
I went to school with a guy called Michael Brady, Liam Brady's son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you give him a kick in when you were.
He was a small little ginger kid. Not a bully, because bullies are a horrible thing. Character build. He was a gobby little
the
shit.
The kind of thing that Jim Staples does when he's down here every week.
He was a gobby little shit, and he deserved it.
Speaking of absent podcasters, we forgot to mention this last week, but congratulations to Andy Franks, who became a dad.
Yes.
Brilliant news, yeah.
I think we're going to have a competition. He's not decided which podcast. Well, he's given it a name, unfortunately. He should have. He was going to name it Michael, but then he decided to name his dad Michael instead. That's the story he's giving me. Right. So he's called it Finley. So congratulations. I think he'll be back next week. And we'll stop being nice to him because he'll be here and we can be horrible to him and he can rabbit on and on about things as he normally does.
He doesn't have mind going on.
He loves a chat. I'm sure he's listening. Hi, Andy.
The other thing that surprises me about that, astounds me, is Adebayor. He's been out for I don't know how long and he seems to be playing really well once he's come back. But that begs the question that the manager, over a personal dispute, is not picking his best side.
ABB?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is just... Surely, when you're a professional supposed manager, if you can let that affect your team's results.
There's
as well.
Talk of Kapuwe and Holtby leaving.
Yeah.
For different reasons. But one of the reasons, apparently, because they turned up 5 minutes late for training with a bit of a lax attitude, and Sherwood basically went, right, fuck off.
Which is
kind of like a personal thing in a way, but yes, they kind of broke the rules for training.
It's stamping down your authority. I certainly don't think Kapuwe will go yet. I think maybe Holtby.
Apparently, Kapuwe's done.
Really?
Yeah, which I'm really upset about because he's fucking quality.
I mean, he's injured for most of the.
Yeah, there's some really, really, really weird things going on at Spurs at the moment, but we won't keep it on
there. There's some weird things going on everywhere in
Chelsea. At United as well.
United, God knows what's going on there. The talk of Paul Pogba and Arturo Vidal is just nonsense.
Well, especially because Paul Pogba apparently has said no fucking chance on coming back to United after the way Ferguson treated him.
Yeah, fair play to him.
That was a strange situation. I think it was a bit of kind of similar to the Sherwood situation where Pogba apparently didn't have the most professional of attitudes. Yeah. He was quite arrogant. He thought he was better than he was. Well, maybe he didn't think he was better than he was.
Yeah, you say that.
But he thought
he was as good as he actually is.
Paul Pogba's fucking amazing.
Exactly.
But apparently he wasn't willing to pay his dues.
With 20 grand a week, I think he
was. And he wanted 20 grand. And personally, I think we should have thrown him in. The last 6 months of that season, if we'd thrown him in, at times, I remember we lost to Blackburn with Jason Park and Raphael in the centre midfield. If we played Paul Pogba, we would have won that game. In theory, we probably would have gone on to win the league that season. Or we certainly could have.
Paul Pogba is Spurs'
Jason Tizel.
No.
Who is, of course...
Went to Milan.
Dan's trying to think of a good Spurs player.
Kevin Prince-Boateng.
Kevin Prince-Boateng.
Every club's got him. I mean,
because he was shit at Spurs, and his attitude stank. He went to Milan, and he was a superstar.
Yeah, did all right. Where's at Pompey. He went back to Germany. I think.
Yeah, he's not a big club, is he?
Wolfsburg or Hamburg or something.
Oh, it might be Wolfsburg. Oh. He's gone. He's gone. Anyway.
Yeah, answers on a postcard.
Related to Man United. Saw this earlier. I think it was about off the post, put the video up. It was brilliant. It was Robbie Savage and Darren What's His Face on Radio 5 Live. And they posed a question to Robbie Savage. How tempted do you think David Moyes will be? Talking of Adam Januzaj.
Yeah.
Adam Januzaj, sorry.
Yeah.
On the topic of him, he's Robbie Savage saying he's a great player, he is, and for the best talent in the Man United shirt he's seen for a long time. And
I saw a great description of him as looking like a young conservative, which I think quite sums up his look. Wow.
All right, that's got nothing to do with what I'm about to say, but thanks, Mike. So the question posed to Robbie Savage was, how tempted do you think David Moyes will be to ride him for the rest of the season? Cue, right? So you can see Robbie Savage, first of all, sort of little snigger, right? And then the script's about another 3 minutes long, right? And they're trying to carry on the radio session. And every time, so Robbie Savage, then he's obviously thinking about it the entire time. And he'll go, and now we're going over to... He goes, I'm sorry. So now we're off to... Like that, literally, this squeaky, stupid thing.
When did Robbie Savage become a whore?
Honestly, listen to this. He can't stop squeaking and laughing. And he has to basically cut himself off. He's like, I can't do it anymore, I'm out. Literally cannot stop the image of David Moyes riding Adam and Nanjana.
Speaking of squealing, I would think that the bar owners in the town that hosts the Greek club Apollon, who I can't remember where they're from, will be squealing with fear.
Where are you going with this?
It was revealed that Marlon King is going to join them. Marlon King is off to Greece.
Wow.
The perennial naughty boy, possibly mentioned more than... I'm trying to think of a naughty boy who's cropped up more in the last 160 shows that we've done.
Fucking what's his face? That's helpful. Barton. Yeah.
But Joey Barton, yeah,
without
maybe.
Without
but yeah, Darren Ambrose plays out there for them. Marlon King is going out to join them. No English club wants him, it seems.
Oh, I just read somewhere that someone else is going. Someone's been offered to Galatasaray. Charlie Adam.
Charlie Adam to Galatasaray.
They've
is Graham Souness back in
Liverpool or something else?
Oh, it was a quality goal. That was good. How about let's talk about games from the weekend, right? That was a game and a half.
I managed to catch most of the first half. And Stoke were by far the better side.
Yeah.
Liverpool were just... Those two goals were ridiculously lucky in the first half. The second one was the entire Liverpool first half. Centre-half punting it upfield.
Yeah.
And Suarez being lucky to cause confusion.
Yeah. But Stoke were quality. Yeah. I still think Charlie Adams... I'm not going to use a C-bomb yet, because I still think he is. And he did it, and he put a nasty tackle in on...
He's from the 1970s, isn't he?
He's from Glasgow.
Yeah. He is one ugly bastard. To be fair, they said in the commentary about... Did he see the goal when he hit it?
Yeah.
As the bit, just before he goes... And Charlie Adam, you can see he's been working a lot on his fitness and he's lost a lot of weight for this season. And bang, oh my God, it's a goal! Like, it was one of those where it was build him up, and then he hit it and he went in, and it was a fucking great goal.
I mean, there was an awful lot of Keystone Cops defending in that game.
Liverpool were very lucky though. Yeah. Third goal,
but Liverpool,
the massive handball from Sterling, and then the blatant dive for the penalty.
The thing that Liverpool have got this season is that they are scoring goals even when they're defending.
They've got the hottest striker in the world at the moment.
Sturridge looked impressive when he came.
Well, I mean, it was the link up between the last two, or the fourth and fifth, was Suarez and Sturridge again. Fuckers. It was. But I mean, that was the second game on the Sunday, wasn't it? I mean, that was a great way to finish my Sunday afternoon. I mean, a 5-3 thriller. You felt for Stoke, definitely. Yeah. A great header from Crouchy as well.
It was. Yeah.
Great header.
Mm. And the earlier game on Sunday as well was not without incident.
Which one was that?
Newcastle versus City.
Oh, was it devastated? Yes, it was a goal. 100% it was a goal. No,
that was definitely a goal.
Controversy on the podcast.
You can clearly see
contrasting opinions. This can't happen.
Hart moves to his left, then he sees Gouffran there. Gouffran could easily Goof Rat moves half a foot, he headers a ball past Hart.
I disagree.
So Hart's got to wait for that.
And I'll
he's
tell
got
you
to
why.
See if he's going towards the ball or not.
I'll
so
tell
it
you
doesn't
why.
Matter that he's in his line of sight. He's
but
in his
Goof Rat, yeah, but Goof Rat was to the right of the ball, was to the right of Joe Hart, yeah. And the ball went to the left of Joe Hart.
Yeah,
so
the other
so
way
I
round,
think.
Yeah.
So I. Well, sorry, yeah. No, yeah, it went to Joe Hart.
Because he's standing by Joe Hart's left.
Nearly took out a barmaid with a dive. Went to do a dive to my left, nearly took out a barmaid.
Hart's diving left,
yeah.
And Goof Rat has to move out of the way of the ball. So that means if he just leans in, he can header it into
the
goal.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
He moves out of the way.
Yeah, but that
but he moves
then
out of the way.
Means that Hart's got to interpret whether he just dives for the flight of the ball or waits for it to react if he headers it.
I think if he
so
actually, I think if
then,
it, but he's not in the line of sight of the ball. He
yeah,
wasn't in the line of sight.
Yeah.
If he was in the line of sight and last minute moves out of the way and Hart sort of goes, well, where's that? Hart could see it the entire way.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that Hart hasn't got a check to see if he's going to hit the ball. So
yeah.
He's interfering in
I don't
the
think
game.
He's interfering with Hart's mentality, with Hart's thinking.
Yeah.
But technically, but
because
he's
offside.
But if he's getting out of the way, he's not actually. No, but he's not offside because the ball hasn't been played to him.
Wait.
Then that, there's that argument, isn't there?
Well,
the ball's got to be played to him.
He's interfering, interfering with play.
Can
he's
we,
interfering with Hart.
No,
playing
no,
a goal.
Can we've got this argument
really
before
really
somebody
good.
Called somebody a flipping old count. Like,
yeah.
We're trying to have a really good discussion here. This is what the podcast's all about.
I just don't want it to turn into a Pellegrini Pardew.
You just totally ruined it.
Fuck it was all to
that was funny.
That, well, there you go.
See,
that's...
I disagree with you. I hate Pardew. I think he's brought way too much aggression to the sideline.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
He always
there's a lot
is overly
like
aggressive
yeah.
as a manager.
He apologised afterwards, but...
Did you see it, though?
What, the
it's
apology?
Sort of half
yeah,
an
oh,
apology.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
oh,
smirk
that
on his face, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
I think Pardew is a sort
a twat.
Of...
Yeah,
yeah
he is.
Is
a twat.
And he's also the second longest reigning Premier League manager.
And apparently a top shagger.
Well, ask Jose Fonte why
the
allegedly.
Sack, you heard it here first.
No. I didn't say it was a good shagger. I was a top shagger, as
yeah.
in lots of shagging.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
What,
like
does that not count then, yeah?
No, you can do a lot of it and not be very good at it.
Like that. But I'm only joking. You were fine in bed
to
that time.
I was brilliant. I even cuddled you afterwards as well.
Well, that's when it got a bit intimate, mate. But
speaking of penises.
Oh, well, there we go. Cut me off this time.
I mean, I don't know how I suppose we were kind of talking about penises.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Just carry on with the link quickly,
just,
will
yeah,
you?
Quick. Sorry, mate. Andy Carroll, after being back.
One game, one assist.
One game, one assist. Tweeted a picture of himself celebrating, saying, over the moon to be back. And as you can see, hashtag package.
that is not a natural. Well, it
he's
is a
definitely
natural.
Got to say, I'm showing the guys the picture that he tweeted. By the way,
let's just say that's a bit of a Zlatan.
I mean, it is brilliant. I really like the fact that he's tweeted that himself and just
yeah.
gone over the moon. Hashtag package. He has basically got a semi, or just a massive penis.
Yeah.
And talking of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, see him talking about him wanting to end his career at Celtic.
Yeah, that was
Henry Larsson.
I mean,
yeah.
you must have got a fucking semi over that.
I reckon I did, yeah. He's I never felt much of him as a player until I had this argument with Sean Miller, actually, an old pubcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Sean
he
Miller.
Explained his record. His record of winning everything wherever he's been, and being
yeah.
top scorer in all the leagues.
Yeah, really, really.
He's
good.
One of those that until the last year hasn't been appreciated in this country
no,
because he hasn't tended to play well against.
But he's accelerated over the last couple of years as well. He's actually got better,
yeah.
I think, as he's got older.
Yeah.
Like,
in fact, I would tell you,
he's on 25 goals for the season or something already. That's something ridiculous. Like, he is on.
Who's PSG got in the next Champions League?
It's a really good question, and I can't remember.
PSG.
Come on. I'm not even in the Champions League this year, so I don't really care.
Dortmund, I think.
Yeah, I think
it might be Dortmund.
Yeah. Knowledge
is above. We can have them. We were going to have them, but we can have them.
Yeah,
so we're in our group. Yeah.
But I tell you what, though, the thing with Zlatan, I said that he'd never performed well against English sides. That's what. I think it was even more a case that if he'd never really played against English sides. I can't remember before AC Milan gave Arsenal a schooling the other year. Mm. And he ran the show. I can't really remember him. Maybe
he was offered a trial at Arsenal, wasn't he?
There's the famous
Zlatan doesn't do auditions.
Yeah,
that's right.
With the Ibrahimovic.
Zlatan doesn't do auditions.
Yeah.
I love him. did his goal win? Did his overhead win?
Yeah, that was the best goal.
He did win, didn't
he? Yeah.
Fucking right.
Too right.
That as well.
That's amazing.
And
just joy.
Have you read his book though?
No, I am Zlatan.
He's fucking brilliant.
I really want to read it.
Yeah, it's just full of he's so egotistical, but it's great.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah, what did you get your wife for her birthday? Nothing. She already has Zlatan.
Yeah,
and he just refers to himself as Zlatan throughout the whole book.
He completely refers to himself as a third person. It's fucking brilliant. But then you see the team of the year. I can't remember the midfield.
Iniesta, Xavi, and
who?
Ribery.
And the trio.
How does that work?
Of Zlatan, Messi, and Ronaldo. Yeah. Can you imagine a team with front three?
Going back to that team, how does that work? Right. How did Iniesta and Xavi get in that team when Bayern Munich's midfield absolutely ripped them up when they played each other?
Yeah.
If they've played each other twice.
The problem is
Schweinsteiger should be in that straight away.
Is it based on stats and wins?
I'll tell you what, Tom Cleverley
is based on linking Iniesta and Xavi.
Tom Cleverley can't be happy.
He was in with a shout. You know, speaking of missing out on awards that you think you should have won.
Yeah.
Think you should be in it? This guy gets mentioned every fucking week because he's such a plonker, but to be fair, I'll give him this. Great banter from Frimpong this time on the announcement of the winner of the Ballon d'Or. Mocked up his own picture.
Oh, Nicky B.
Of Nicholas Bendler. Nicholas Bendler's head on last year's Messi's body with his polka dot suit on, holding the Ballon d'Or, saying, "Well done, at Bendler, on your award, bro. Hard work." Absolute pissed off.
Damn enough to me,
it's amazing. I'm warming to Frimpong, actually, because he is just an absolute joker.
I used to really like Frimpong, but I don't think he's good enough.
As a wind-up merchant, he's pretty good.
I think he's dench, but, speaking of Photoshop. Have you seen Hodged?
No.
It is brilliant. It's a Twitter feed. I sincerely tell you all to follow You've Been Hodged. It's basically footballers, but with Roy Hodgson's face photoshopped onto them.
Right.
But done really well, and it is freaky as fuck. Danny Welbeck is brilliant.
Does it not get a little bit boring after a while?
You'd think so, but no.
Right.
Because it's every different facial expression.
A bit like the Phil Jones.
Some
are
action
shots. A lot of facial expressions.
Yeah. Phil Jones earnings. Yeah, we do like Phil Jones.
Absolutely fantastic. I sincerely recommend you look it up.
Nice one.
Absolutely brilliant. Other big news this week. In fact,
we haven't really talked about the results of the week.
Well, I've got a massive result from last night. A massive, massive, massive result.
Fulham scoring three goals?
Not Fulham scoring three goals. Not Nick Powell scoring two to keep Wigan in against nobody.
Just yet.
They weren't playing a team that existed.
Well, no, don't jump on the stable bandwagon.
He's not here, is he? I don't like him.
The attendance of Fulham was absolutely fucking shocking. It was live on BT Sport, which is probably one of the reasons that it was.
Yeah. Which links to, I think I've actually been in attendance at the lowest ever attended Premiership game.
Really?
I was work experience at Wimbledon Football Club when I was 17 coaching, and I was there stuffing hundreds of tickets in envelopes to all the local schools for Wimbledon Everton on a wet Wednesday night.
Oh, wow.
I think it was something like 4,000 attendants. I forget how many.
That's dire.
But yeah, bloody I was hell. There watching Beardsley and Cotty rip Wimbledon apart in the lowest ever attended Premier League game.
I mean, there was I know that the away / neutral stand was, I think, empty bar about four people, and even the other stand from the obviously couldn't really tell, but I mean it just looked, I mean it looked terrible. It's a shame.
It's a shame, but it's one of those.
It's an FA Cup replay.
Yeah,
FA Cup
in the week. What do you expect?
You would hope it, but midweek in January when people.
Norwich isn't that far away.
I know it's disappointing, and yeah. Maybe it's endemic of the society we live in at the moment that people.
Oh God, let's not get depressed
about that. Back onto the massive result.
Yes.
So all season we've been talking about Hyde United from the Squirrel Premier League Conference. All season I've mentioned.
First time we mentioned them.
Because before last weekend they were only on 3 points.
Oh yeah.
Points all season.
Was that three draws or one victory, Michael?
Three draws.
Thank you.
Is that better or worse? I don't know.
Oh, it's worse. But the thing is, they haven't been getting stuffed. They've been losing maybe by two or three goals at times.
They've just been losing. Yeah.
At the weekend, they were winning 1-0 until the 78th minute, and they ended up drawing 1-1. Heartbreaking. But last night, they were away at mid-table Welling. Welling are doing
well. Welling United, my local team.
I was in Welling yesterday.
Wow.
I mean, this is all too much of a coincidence.
Mid-table. And they won 2-0.
Hyde won for the first time all season.
Brilliant.
Welling United. Got to take a long hard look at themselves.
Shame on Welling. So now
home of the BNP, unfortunately.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But there you go. We've learned to it. But I think Hyde are now 17 points off survival with 14 games to go.
They can do it.
The comeback starts
here.
Come on, lads.
They've got it.
Fully backing you.
They've absolutely got it.
They've only got about 20 points to make up for the next position.
Well, yeah, that'd be fine. I think the playoffs is now the
question. Did you go? Why were you in Welling?
No, I was at a funeral in Welling yesterday. Rest of it. An Arsenal fan.
Sorry, mate.
So you won't be too sad about that.
No, I mean,
that's horrible.
They told us to enjoy it with humour. She would have laughed at it. It's fine. Rest in peace, Penny. She was a lovely lady.
Oh, fuck.
We'll talk about that later.
And speaking of people who've passed away, Bobby Collins, formerly of Celtic and Everton and Leeds, described by Eddie Gray as the most influential player in Leeds history. He was there at the start of the Don Revy era when it all turned around and then went on to win the Football League. I think they won the FA Cup as well, I'm not certain. But yeah, passed away age 82. Scotland midfield, I think he played something like 40 times for Scotland. Very well respected throughout the game and in Scotland. Rest in peace to him.
I've seen on your little bit of notes there that you were going to mention something I was about to mention soon as well. On happier news.
Happier news?
Because I don't like when we have sad news.
No,
I say happier news. Is it quite cool news, I'd say?
Yeah.
Clarence Seedorf.
One of the coolest footballers
around.
With a fucking cracking six pack as well. I mean
that's really inappropriate.
We haven't been talking about cuddling.
I mean that was tongue in cheek. Like, you've genuinely
why don't you just marry Clarence?
Well, yeah. I'm marrying my missus this summer, but if Clarence is available and listening.
Right, anyway, back to the football part.
I think his marriage as manager of Milan won't last long.
What a link. Top quality.
The first ever black manager of AC Milan, and only the second in Italy after Yabras Kane of Napoli in 1994.
Wow, well, that's progress.
Oh. It is progress. It is massive, really. Half joking aside, it's a big deal. Obviously, he's a legend at Milan, isn't he? Good luck to him. Good luck to Clarence.
I think Milan are just banging trouble, aren't they?
They're 11th in the league. It makes United season look rosy.
Who's a Brazilian they picked?
Robinho.
Ex-player as coach for a while. Was it PSG as well?
Leonardo, who got banned while he was, I think, PSG manager for fighting with the referee or something. Hence why he had to leave.
Sorry, I think we talked about that on here a while ago.
I don't think Milan are making too many good choices. Somebody straight out of football into a job that size. I wish him all the best. But
yeah, I know you're absolutely right. They're in a bad position. But he's got no experience. Mm. I mean, he is Clarence Seedorf, but
still, it's not looking good.
Edgar Davids had a crack at Barnet first and England.
He was a player there.
Gets sent off every other game.
He's the manager. He's going to play himself.
Fucking Edgar Davids, as he says.
Well, we don't need to go back to that. I mean, me and Clarence, it's all hypothetical.
Well, you and Edgar get up to in your spare time, Dan. It's none of my business. Moving on.
I'll see what happened there.
Well, there you go.
Just caught up.
Yeah, a little bit.
But can you imagine your club appointing someone, a former player, who hasn't got any management experience? It's always
good. Barnes.
I think he was talking about me.
Yeah. Uncle Tim. But no, he could go either way.
He's doing well so far.
One of these that can go either way, and it's refreshing. I mean,
tell you who's not doing too well.
But go on.
I mean, David Moyes.
Yeah, lads.
I mean, he's not doing too well. But do you see what Mourinho said? He's a naughty boy, isn't he? Okay, quote from Mourinho: "My feeling, which is based on years of communicating with Sir Alex and some inside information, as he calls it, is Man United are not happy, but they are calm. They trust David. David trusts them. So Mourinho apparently doesn't believe that his job's under threat, but the pressure is coming from the media and not the club. So what a cheeky monkey.
So basically what he said
ahead of Sunday's game, funnily enough.
Yeah. What he said is, United aren't very happy that they are currently 7th in the league.
But it's not
not down to Moyes, no. And they're not going to sign him.
He must be contractually obliged to slag off United for five times a season.
Imagine.
You must have at least go to the Sun 3 times a month. Yeah.
Call him
say something controversial. Yeah. Say something controversial at least once a month. Otherwise, your contract is null and void.
Yeah.
But speaking of contracts, Sean Jordan, my boss at work, I say big Man United fan, he's a sort of Man United fan.
He wears a cool retro Sampdoria shirt.
He does wear a cool retro Sampdoria shirt. He informed me that in Rooney's contract, he can buy out the last year of his contract.
Any player can buy out the last year of their contract.
Are you sure?
Under FIFA rules, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Right.
But they've got to do it, taking into consideration how much they will be paid and also their market value. So
it has to be taken into consideration. Because obviously, if you worked it out on, let's say you're earning 250 grand a week, it works out, I think we worked out about 14 million or something like that. So in theory, Rooney could buy out his contract for 14 million, get Chelsea to buy him, and incorporate that 14 million into them buying him and sign on for it.
I'm fairly sure it has to be done at market value, so he would have to pay 30 million to buy himself out.
Yeah, not as a remainder of
your
contract.
Which is to protect.
Which doesn't really make any sense.
It's more a rule for players at the lower end of the spectrum, maybe players that are aging who aren't getting a chance fairly or unfairly. So they could pay maybe 500 grand to be bought out and have a chance to go elsewhere.
Yeah,
but that doesn't really. No, I think that's absolutely rubbish. Because surely, if they're older, they're not going to be worth as much. So the market value isn't as much anyway. So they won't have to pay very much.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
Surely they'd be better off. They're better off just buying out their contract as opposed to getting paid off what their market value is. Because the contract won't be very much. They won't get paid very much.
But the whole point. No, but in theory, say you've got somebody like Winston Bogard back in the day, who was on 60 grand a week, but his market value had completely plummeted. And say he not wanted to sit on the Chelsea bench for 4 years, say he'd wanted
to. Surely you still have to buy out your contract and not just on market
value. Well, that's what I said,
value.
You have to take both into consideration. So who's to say what any footballer is worth? You could argue. You could argue that, say.
Although, well done, Cristiano.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, he
well done, Chris. He did deserve it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
This year, I think he deserved it. Messi's been injured for 3 months.
I'm not saying Messi, I'm saying Ribery. Look at the stats, is what I'm saying.
But you saw it was, I think they did the thing for Ronaldo. Top goal scorer in top Portuguese goal scorer, top goal scorer in La Liga, top goal scorer in Champions League, top goal scorer in Copa del Rey, top goal scorer, literally top goal scorer in every single competition. Top goal scorer top goal scorer in the Euros, top goal scorer and basically got Portugal to the World Cup. World Cup qualifiers.
Who's it? I think I see Lawrence say he watched that qualifying game. Said it's the only game he's ever watched where it's genuinely a one man team.
Ronaldo.
That's
amazing.
Can you imagine? Because Portugal's squad without Ronaldo is no better than England.
Especially with the likes of no Deco, no Figo. Years, Portugal.
Yeah, but they had their own golden generation, didn't they? Yeah. I mean, they do still have the likes of, say, Jean Moutinho or Pepe or even when he's on form, Nani and those sorts of players.
When he's on form, don't have enough of those.
I know that better than anyone.
But I know what you're saying. They're not a Spain. They're not.
Can you imagine if England had a Cristiano Ronaldo, which we might have in Adnan Yanazai in a few years?
Fingers crossed.
We were this close to having a Gareth Bale, with a Welsh bastard.
Yeah. And Manuel Almunia.
And David Bentley.
Speaking of Arsenal, right? Massive news. Massive news.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the 28-year-old? Dutch defender with 94 caps for Holland, who's come from Ajax, who you have just signed?
I've not been.
Massive news.
You know what's happened.
Wait for the punchline.
Anouk Hoijenk.
Oh, wow.
Hello.
She is fit.
Yes.
She is. Arsenal ladies have just signed Anouk Hoijenk.
Guggendijk.
Wow. Who is right? And I'll give you another little picture of her here as well.
Hello.
Absolute fitty.
Yeah.
She comes with international pedigree. Multiple caps for Holland. Comes from Ajax. Great form.
keep her away from Jack Wilshere.
And she, I mean, I just want my looking at her for a little bit longer. Yeah. Yeah. She's absolutely delightful. I'd say Google her. Right, Google 28-year-old Dutch defender from Ajax who's just signed for Arsenal Ladies, because you won't and as you look at it, you won't really understand what it is. But,
you got my hopes up then. I thought we'd signed a real player.
That was the idea, Christopher. That was the idea.
You got me. Should they Google her or go ogle her? See, I've turned that around there. That was awful. Anyway, I've got a gig tonight as well. It's not going to go well.
Speaking of awful, Jack Butland's weekend.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible weekend. So not only did he concede 5 goals against Liverpool in his Premier League debut, mere hours beforehand, someone nicked his car.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Audi R5 out, something like that, or something in the world. He tweeted, or it was Instagram or Twitter or something, he put a plea out saying, woke up this morning, my car's been nicked. If anyone sees it, this is what it looks like. This is the registration plate. There'll be a cash reward for anyone that finds it. So the poor bastard got from his driveway. The guy's about to. I think you do feel really sorry for that.
He's about
to.
The game.
Yeah. He wakes up on the morning of the game, about to make his Premier League debut against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Finds his car nicked.
Some hoodlum.
Probably can't even get to the game. Had to get a taxi. Was he put his plans all out of whack?
Yeah.
And then goes and concedes 5 goals. Poor bastard.
What a shame. Yeah, I really feel for him.
Yeah.
Then you have to go work for another week.
He's going to have to go and buy it.
No one likes to get your car nicked, is it? No, it's not nice. Yeah.
No.
It's the hassle more than anything, isn't it?
That's true.
Yeah. All that hassle for his agent, the poor fella.
Yeah.
Oh, when was this? 13? No, it was last Wednesday night. I tweeted about it and you retweeted it.
Oh, you did, yeah.
I was sat in a pub, my local pub, mere metres away from Juan Mata. And what looked very much like his agent. Well, I mean, it had to have been his agent. It was a Spanish guy, very smartly dressed.
How did you know he was Spanish? Did he have a sombrero?
His agent, not his.
Because they were speaking Spanish.
That's Mexican.
I mean, and
he had castanets.
Yeah.
And a sword that he was spelling Z onto people. And that's
first,
Mexico
honestly,
again, sorry.
But in mind, I now live in a sheltered
community.
Quite a posh place, yes. But it was quite Wednesday night in the pub. And I thought, first of all, we walked into my housemate that spotted him, not me. Because I thought, who's this little chav that they've let near our near our pub? Because he was in an all-grey tracksuit, and I think he had a hood up at first, and he looked like a small child. I'm not being funny. I've never seen.
Small.
Like, I mean, tiny, absolutely tiny. And when he came inside, Henry, my housemate, said, "I think that's Juan Mata." I don't be fucking stupid. And he got gave it. Well, you know how fucking close we are to Chelsea, and this could well. But I went, "All right, I'll give you that. It could possibly, but it's not." Walked back in the pub. It was Juan Mata. And I was trying to hear at any point if he said Atletico Madrid. He didn't.
I was going to say, did he mention anything? No. Yes, I want to work for David Moyes. In my dream.
Unfortunately not. Yeah. But the thing about it, like seeing him, like I said, he looks like a 10-year-old boy. Like, I mean, he's tiny. I'm not the biggest guy in the world. I'm not small, but I'm not. But yeah. And it's weird that obviously, even seeing players on a pitch or from a certain distance, you still, they look small. But when you're literally, I pretty much stood next to him at one point, looking down at him, and I'm thinking, this guy is one of the top footballers in the world. Really, and he is one of the top footballers in the world. And I think, I'm looking at him thinking, I could mark him. But do you know what I mean? You look at him going, but how difficult could he possibly be?
Because I used to play football Monday nights with a bunch of mates, and one of them had a son who was on Crystal Palace's books, and he used to, I think it was the under-14s he was playing for, and he'd come down and play with us, and he was a lovely footballer, relatively small for his age, but he had John Solarco, the moron, as his manager at the time, the trainer, and he only picked 14-year-olds that were 6-foot-plus and muscle-bound. His kid was struggling, and this kid was a beautiful footballer.
I'm really hoping that you called him John Solarco, the moron, to differentiate as if there were two John Solarco. Not the footballer one, the moron.
Idiot.
But I suppose playing week in week out that I do, obviously not quite the level that Juan Mata plays at. But he's looking at his stature and playing against people, and he's not quick either. So I'm looking at him going, hang on, he's tiny, he's not quick. How can he be that hard to play against? You know what I mean? But obviously,
it's one of the top players. Well, but it's always weird. Asked about the who's the Madrid centre forward that went to Schalke at the end of his career?
Raul.
Mm. He never had any pace. He wasn't particularly good in the air.
He
scored goals for fun. Well, he weren't particularly big.
No, okay, he wasn't. Yeah, sorry, he wasn't.
There wasn't an attribute of his you could say, gee, he's just had to be.
That's why he's good in the air. Yeah.
But yeah, he scored for fun for donkey's years, didn't he?
It's funny, isn't it? Speaking of tiny footballers, who saw Lionel Messi's awful suit at Ballon d'Or?
I think you're mistaken, Michael.
Am I?
I think you mean awesome.
Well, that satin red number.
Oh, I mean, but, yeah, but, this is, but you see what he, the sequin one last year, the polka dot one.
Yeah,
he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
and it's awesome. And if you're Lionel Messi,
why would you?
Why would you give a fuck?
He looked like an extra from the bloody wedding singer.
Like he made it
a little bit like Ron Burgundy, which makes him fucking cool.
No,
which
I don't,
makes him really, no, really fucking cool.
If he wore a turtleneck, it would have worked, but I don't think.
No, Ron Burgundy wears a three piece as well.
Oh no, he does, but I just don't think it was a Ron
Lionel
Burgundy
Messi
three piece.
Can do whatever the fuck he wants. Naughty boys of the week. West Ham reporting Fulham for tapping up Ravel Morrison, supposedly. Yeah. Naughty. I think that's it.
Yeah, well, there we go. I think we've got time maybe for a brief Melbourne Heart.
Yeah, Melbourne Heart lost. Fuck's sake. 3-0.
But they won the under 21s derby against
no one
victory.
Cares about that. Right. Spurs went 4-0 up in the under-21s against Newcastle within 26 minutes yesterday. Andros Townsend on the score sheet, might be back from injury to play at the weekend. Good news for Spurs fans. It was Shane Smeltz back from injury who came on with about only not long to go and just destroyed. Oh, 86th and 89th minute. After the Heart striker Dylan McCancell set off the 81st. Started well, finished shit. I'll tweet about it if anyone cares. Really quickly, Southampton's chairman resigned. It's just breaking news.
Yeah, Nicola Cortese. Yeah.
And it's really bad news, massive blow for Saints fans, especially because Natural Football tweeted this before he came down to attribute it to them. Last year, Pochettini quoted as saying, "I would not understand staying in this role if Nicola was not here. The person who actually called me from the start, told me about the project and put the faith in me was Nicola." And apparently, which obviously is massive for the manager saying that, you know, he might have to reassess it now, but really, really big, like bad time, well, worrying time, I think, for Southampton. And apparently Cortese is at odds with Caterina Liber, who became a trustee after the death of her father in 2010, but has absolutely no interest in football, and apparently that's where the major clash is, and
well,
that's why.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about Pochettino going at the end of the season anyway, so it'll be interesting to see what happens, and then if he goes, what happens to Saints, because I mean, he's really taken them forward from Adkins, who did a fine job in himself. But
apart from the 10-game spell where they basically didn't score.
Yeah, but we'll paper over that. Let's look at a picture of a nook again.
That's because Wanyama was injured. Let's put down something that basic.
Stop sucking off Wanyama.
Anyway.
So there's been far too many homosexuality
jokes. This is the most homoerotic and most beardy show ever.
Yeah.
Right, let's just stare at
giving the last bit.
She's proper fit.
Yeah. The usual stuff. Email us, banter at footballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. We'll have a new website launched in the next couple of weeks. Working on that.
You're a liar.
I'm not. I'm working on it.
Said that for the last couple of weeks.
You're not personally building it, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, we're
it's going to be dreadful. And of course, most importantly, follow us on Twitter at Football Podcast. We haven't had an iTunes review in a while.
Why have we not had an iTunes review?
They don't care about what we're doing here.
They do care.
Please review us.
And we love you all. Have a good week. Kiss, kiss. Bye.